Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Metaverse podcast. Before we dive into today's exciting discussion, I have a small favor to ask. If you enjoy our show and the insights we bring to you, please consider subscribing. Your support makes a big difference. It not only supports the show, but it also helps us continue bringing valuable content your way and to as many eyes and ears as possible. So hit that subscribe button and let's keep this journey going together. Now let's get started with today's episode. Okay, so today I'm really happy to welcome on the show co-founder and CEO at Reveal, Adrian Stern. Welcome, Adrian. So really excited to have you on the show. Been some great updates coming into my inbox from you guys as to the traction and progress that you're making. Again, especially considering the kind of stage that you guys are at. So product's still in alpha and yet, you know, huge traction all over the place. And we're going to get into some of the detail. Before we get into that, Reveal, of course, is described as the payout infrastructure for the collaborative and collaboration economy and is backed by us at Outlier Ventures, but also many others like Binance Labs. You went through one of our cohorts recently. I think it was the store number 8 one we do with Walmart. But, you know, again, already very close with world's largest retailer out the gate. And you kind of haven't really looked back since. So some of the kind of traction that we're seeing, you've launched a new product, Reveal Accounts, which is kind of a digital wallet for creators and allows them to kind of aggregate and combine all their crypto wallets into one single P2P payment solution. 50,000 users, 1.2 million on the waiting list. I had to kind of like reread that several times to make sure I got it right, really. Again, product's still in alpha, but about to release beta very soon, I believe, maybe even by the time that this airs or perhaps just after. And adoption all over the place, some from within kind of our ecosystem. So we just took off air Pixel Links and of course Hanamoca Brands. Love the guys at Pixel Links. Via that, you know, their kind of association with artists like deadmau5 and Diplo. So you're kind of regularly paying out artists of that scale already. But of course, a whole long tail of creators as well. So it's not just kind of those big names. And I know that's really important to you and your mission at Reveal. So hopefully that's enough color to kind of whet everyone's appetite. But maybe let's learn a little bit more about Adrian and your journey. And I know going back to 2014, you kind of talk about this participation scale triggering, giving you that kind of aha moment as to a shift or a change in consumer behavior, expectations about how they might be able to interact with brands, primarily but not exclusively in media entertainment and the kind of economy. And but let's kind of learn a little bit more about you as a founder. You are a co-founder. How do you meet your co-founder and maybe talk a little bit more about that, getting to that aha moment?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for that intro. I wish I always had you around to introduce us like that. You know, it's been an interesting journey because I started my career in music and entertainment, right? Fell in love with reggae music as a kid. I was like 11 or 12 and started a reggae band with some friends, right? That took us, you know, on a whole new road that we hadn't really foreseen for ourselves. We toured all across Europe. I got to meet a lot of big artists, started producing, you know, some Grammy winning artists like Beanie Man, and worked with jungle artists like General Levi and dub legends like Mad Professor, right? And so had this whole experience all the way to the point of founding a record label and running that for a couple years. And, you know, as much as I love music and the media entertainment industry, there are some serious flaws in how that industry runs, right? And I think one of the things that, you know, if you speak to pretty much any musician that has worked at a certain level, they will tell you that they need to wait months, sometimes years, in order to get paid out their royalties, right? And, you know, even back then, to me, that seemed absurd, right? And, you know, in every other industry, you expect to be paid out in 30, maybe the longest is like 90 days if you have really like long sales cycles, right? But, you know, having to wait years is unheard of. So that's always something that like stood out to me. And then eventually, you know, I did a bit of a 180 in my mid late 20s. and then got a job in banking, doing digital transformation here in New York at BNP Paribas. Learned a lot for several years, but didn't love the corporate culture. And so went back to school to do an MBA. And that's when sort of the dots started connecting. And I was able to like draw a line between all my experiences, started diving deeper into blockchain and crypto, and realized that, you know, the technology allowed for new ways of facilitating payments. And that's really what prompted the idea behind Reveal, right? And this idea that we could be paying out creators and collaborators around content creation in a much more efficient and transparent way. That's really what, you know, what put us on the path to building Reveal. You know, since then, and in part because we, you know, took part in the Outlier Ventures and Walmart Store Number 8 program, we've been able to really expand sort of our vision and understanding of how the world is evolving to include many more use cases than we initially thought of, right? Originally, it was really around music and content in general. How can we help redistribute revenue that has been generated between, you know, different entities that create that end product. But what we learned in our conversations with Walmart is that that happens, you know, pretty much in digital commerce and in a lot of different spaces, right? You have different entities that collaborate along the supply chain to generate value, right? And how do you redistribute that value amongst all the players along the supply chain, whether that's digital or not? And another really interesting insight for me, which was that the creator economy is not so much about media and content as it is a new cog in the supply chain, right? So much of the revenue in the creator economy is coming from affiliate or like creator programs, right? And creators being able to help sell products, that I think it's interesting to look at the creator economy from that lens of how it's changing the digital supply chain and how creators are actually, you know, a new distribution channel for commerce, right? And so coming back to that participation scale that you were mentioning, I think one of the things that I find fascinating is how consumer behavior is evolving, and consumers and creators just want to be much more involved in the products that they use. And so I remember reading this Harvard Business Review article. I discovered it way after it was published. I think it was published in 2014. I think I discovered it in 2017. It's called Understanding New Power. And it really describes this participation scale, right? From the lowest level of participation, which is just, you know, you're consuming either content or products, all the way to co-ownership, right? With all the steps in between, which can be sharing and then remixing or, you know, shaping and producing and, you know, eventually co-ownership, right? And I thought that was a really interesting way of looking at how consumer behavior is evolving, and one that made a lot of sense when you start plugging in new technologies like AI and Web3, where, you know, we're just increasingly making it easy for consumers to participate more and more, right? And so we talk about, you know, this collaboration economy or participation economy really as the coming together of brands, creators, and consumers in order to generate value. And then how do you redistribute that value? And that's where Reveal comes in, right? It's about offering payments rails that are built for this level of collaboration and then make it super easy for everyone to be paid out in a transparent, efficient way, no matter where you are, right? Yeah, it's been a really fun journey, and we're obviously super pumped to have, you know, already 50,000 users on our alpha product, you know, the beta coming out very soon. And we have some really exciting updates that I'm looking forward to sharing with the community in the coming weeks.
Well, we're going to try and get some of that alpha, squeeze some of that alpha out of you before the end of the show. Let's see how well I can do. But so maybe let's like focus in on the traction. So I think we kind of have the vision now, but if we kind of come to what the product is today, it's very focused. You could almost think it's too simple, right? It almost feels like, well, is that a feature rather than a product, but it's really worked for you, right? So you've found something relatively, I wouldn't say simple, but not necessarily complex, and you've solved that really effectively to the point whereby you've kind of got all this demand and usage. Maybe because we have a lot of founders listen to the show, maybe you could just talk through, firstly, that process of within that big vision, identifying the thing you're going to go to market with first, and how you managed to kind of generate that kind of traction. And then maybe we can kind of progressively zoom out into what you're then envisioning that becoming beyond that initial kind of feature.
Yeah. I think, you know, there are two things that I think we did pretty well. The first is always listening to consumers in order to adapt and, when needed, to, you know, almost fully pivot or at least refocus our efforts. That's the first thing, and we can dive deeper into that. The second is constantly communicating our vision to the community, right? I think, you know, to come back to the first point, we built our revenue share protocol before building the Reveal accounts or peer-to-peer payment solution, right? And looking back at it, I think we kind of put the cart in front of the horse, you know? We were looking at how we can share, you know, or help redistribute value, but hadn't necessarily looked at the issue of how easy it is for people to be onboarded and to receive that value, right? And so only by going to market with the RevShare product were we able to uncover that need, right? And listening to, you know, some of the partners we had, like Color Studio, and how complex it is for them to onboard the artists and record labels and publishers they work with, allowed us to uncover, you know, an opportunity in building that, you know, Reveal accounts product, right? And so having a really close ear to the market and to customers, I think is just crucial, because so much of an early stage startup is their bets, right? That you're hopefully have a decent sense of the market you're going into. But the reality is you can't guarantee how that's going to be received and where the hurdles are going to be, right? And so you need to be, I think, very in tune with the feedback that you get and ready to put aside your initial product in order to build something else that in the longer term just elevates the entire platform, right? Or entire vision. I think that's crucial. And then when you do that and you combine that with the second point, which is constantly, you know, sharing your vision, and, you know, there's a bit of building in public, I think, in Web3 that lands really well if you're able to take a community along with you onto the ride. That has allowed us to, you know, slowly but surely build interest into what we've been building, you know, by sharing, look, this is what we envision, this is where we're going, this is what we've learned, this is what we're building now. And eventually people pick it up, and then, you know, they see that you're working with such and such. All of that sort of just builds credibility and interest in the platform. And so, you know, I think that's how we eventually we're able to get to a point where we've had this much interest. And yeah, I mean, you know, 1.2 million emails in the wait list. And these are validated emails, right? We've kicked out 1.8 million, like, you know, fake emails or bots, right? So these are validated leads is pretty impressive in this space. So we're obviously super excited about our opportunity to really deliver on our vision, right? And offer this Reveal account solution that, the best way I would describe it, if I had to make an analogy, it's like kind of as simple as Venmo when it comes to peer-to-peer payments, but offers all of the functionalities of a multi-wallet, multi-chain account, right? And so as a user, you can easily send funds around to, you know, someone you're collaborating with, a manager, or even just friends, and at the same time, engage in this collaboration economy, connect to dApps, no matter on what chain, et cetera. And so, yeah, I mean, the reception of Reveal accounts has been really exciting for the team.
Yeah, I mean, to get that much, to have that many people care, you know, about an early stage startup is really hard, right? Because sometimes a lot of people just assume, well, you know, I'll just watch and see what happens, right? They're probably not going to be here in 6 months, you know? So to kind of get people to care, to engage, to give you that feedback is really impressive. And I think testament to you and the team. And I think also as founders, you talked about a little bit earlier, the ability to not be precious about ideas and assumptions. You know, really, you're kind of just looking to learn what people want, not necessarily prove an assumption that you may or may not have, right?
Yeah, that's something that's always been close to my heart, is it's important to have conviction, but you can't be married to your ideas, right? Flexibility is crucial as a founder. I have not yet really met a founder that hasn't pivoted or adapted their business, right? So yeah.
So let's zoom back out again to the participation economy within the context of the roadmap that you're thinking about, whether that's accounts or beyond. You know, I know that when you're thinking about the participation economy, you're also now thinking about it in the context of both Web3 and AI and perhaps the convergence of those two things. Why do you think both of those drive more participation or unlock new levels of participation? And how does that fit into your roadmap?
Yeah, I think AI is going to help drive the content creation side of things, right? I think you look at platforms like Chorus AI from Pixellinks is a great example of that, right? How they're leveraging AI to allow fans to create remixes of songs that they love, right? Grimes AI or Blau AI are two other great examples where, you know, as a fan, I can pretty much create a song by, like, sang by Grimes, right? Although I'm just collaborating virtually, really, with her. So AI obviously is going to some extent compete with creators in that, you know, there might be content purely generated through AI, but I also think it's going to really improve the way we collaborate and increase the amount of collaboration. And to get technical in, you know, in the music space, we call those derivative works, right? I think we're going to see a lot of derivative works like, you know, initiatives. I'm thinking of even in gaming, right? The ability to like modify to earn and take an asset, remix that asset pretty much, and then if use it, and if you want one day, sell it. And so when you think about that and putting that on chain, or at least allowing for the payments to be on chain and automating the value distribution, that to me makes a lot of sense on how those two technologies are going to enable participation to a new extent. And so that's why I often think about this collaboration economy as kind of the merging of digital commerce and media entertainment creator economy, if you will, right? As we enter, you know, the metaverse, and I really resonate with Sean Puri's definition of the metaverse, that it's, you know, it's a time and it's when our online identity becomes, you know, more important than our physical identity. As we, you know, become more and more entrenched into these virtual spaces, I think more and more of digital commerce is also going to be in those virtual spaces and done in collaboration with content creators, with the media entertainment and content industry. And so that's where I really see those two industries sort of joining and why we call it the collaboration economy. So I think it's really exciting to think about it that way. And perhaps, you know, that touches on some of the stuff that you guys have published at Outlier Ventures around the tokenization trends. You know, I believe that digital assets are going to be a huge part of that sort of tokenization trend. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we recently published the RWA Real World Assets paper. And I think, you know, most people still think of that in terms of like real estate or, you know, not necessarily in the context of IP, for example, IP in creative sense or in a R&D sense, you know, in a pharmaceuticals or whatever it might be. So, you know, we're certainly super excited about allowing for greater forms of value to first be digitized and then programmable effectively. And, you know, what you said about the ability to kind of almost have a universal library of creative assets that can be repurposed, remodified. Initially, you know, that might be manually by people and then increasingly by them leveraging AI tools, either on their own accord or enabled by the artist or the IP owner. gets super exciting, right? Because all of a sudden, talking about supply chains again, the supply chain of producing a movie, producing a AAA game, get dramatically reduced. So we kind of refer to it as the 100x creator or the 100x founder, and the kind of stuff that you're building makes all of that possible. So let's try and get some alpha out of you. I know you're probably not going to say who, but I don't know if you feel comfortable talking about a new category of partner that you've got and how they might be looking to, generally speaking, kind of leverage your technology to engage with audiences and stuff like that.
Sure. What I'll say is that we're realizing that with Reveal Accounts and this digital wallet solution that we've built, there is an opportunity to bring branded, you know, co-creation participation initiatives into the product, right? And facilitate really the meeting between, you know, this community and these consumers who want to participate, who want to be more engaged, and brands who are looking to build with creators and with consumers, right? And so with that, what I'll say is that we're working with a major studio on a project that is very much in line with that, you know, a co-creation, and how can consumers and fans engage with the IP and sort of build with the company. And being able to facilitate that interaction, I think, is something that makes a lot of sense for us, in part because we've got this digital wallet and a user base that is fast growing. And on the other side, we have our revenue share protocol that makes it really easy for brands or companies to redistribute value when it needs to be redistributed between different partners, even if these are consumers, right? So yeah, we're really excited about that. There'll be some exciting announcements coming up in, you know, very shortly.
It is a major studio, major brand with lots of sub-brands, lots of IP. But it's interesting, I kind of guess I'd like to get your gauge on appetite or sentiment from these types of players at the moment, because I think there's a feeling that somehow the metaverse narrative died out, that, you know, with the kind of NFT market is dead, you know, brands are no longer interested in it. They've moved on. What are the kind of conversations that you're having? What is the sentiment? How does a partnership like this happen? You know, do they knock on your door? Are you knocking on their door? You know?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. What we're seeing, and I think it's in line with where adoption is going to come from in the Web3 space, is that projects that are having success are less and less, you know, sort of crypto first, right? And the technology is sort of dropping to the back end, which makes a lot of sense, right? Blockchain is a back end technology, right? And, you know, when you think about the mass market, people don't want to have to learn how to use new products, right? They just want it to work. And so, you know, I think, you know, the success that we're seeing with Farcaster right now is an example of this, right? It's a seamless experience. You don't really know that you're using crypto technology. You just have a UX that is simple, right? And so I think brands are realizing that the technology has gotten to a point now where you can have these initiatives without having to use all the jargon that we've been using over the past couple of years. And that makes it a lot more accessible because the reality is terms like NFT and crypto for the mass market have had a fairly negative connotation, right? And so I think that's a shift that we're seeing, and that is going to really facilitate a lot of the inbound of brands wanting to experience around that. And the ones that have been successful, whether it's, you know, it's Nike or Starbucks, you know, have pretty much gone about it with that playbook, right? Trying to put the technology in the back end as much as possible. And I think, you know, with Reveal, that's very much been at the forefront of our thinking from the get-go. It's, you know, how do we make simple payments that leverage all of the, you know, the value proposition that blockchain can offer without having to force users to learn how to manage that technology, right? And, you know, so just to give you an example on Reveal Accounts, you don't need to remember your seed phrase, right? Obviously, it's always good to back it up, but you can just sign in with your Google account and that whole experience has been abstracted and simplified. So I think, you know, with that and with gasless and sort of paymasters that offer gasless transactions and those sort of technologies, the user experience is finally reaching a stage where we can onboard sort of, you know, mass market use cases.
Very cool. And I think helpful perspective to a lot of founders out there building, you know, looking to also reach mainstream and especially kind of consumer audiences. So we mentioned at the top end, maybe to kind of close off, beta's imminent. Dare we kind of put a time frame on it?
It's going to be before the end of Q1. I'll say that.
All right. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Well, look, Adrian, it's been great having you on, catching up with you, hearing about the progress. Lots of great insights there for founders starting out. So, you know, congratulations to you and the team. Really, really excited to see what happens with the beta and, of course, more generally throughout the year. And, of course, that knowing and naming that partner that you kind of alluded to at the top end. So thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. Really fun to chat with you and, you know, excited to stay in touch with the OV family and as we keep growing.
Thanks for coming on.